Unlikely people. We're going to start out with a game. You guys like games? Yeah. Game time. Didn't know you get to play a game when you came to church, huh? All right. How many of you remember the game Guess Who? When you were little, you know the little tags? Okay, this is a Guess Who game. Okay, I'm going to tell you, I think I have a slide, right? I have a slide. Yep. Okay. Despite his progressive deafness, he continued to compose music by relying on his innate musicality and inner ear, by feeling vibrations from the piano, sometimes using tools to amplify these sensations. Who was it? Very good. Ken, you gonna show them the answer? Very good. Good job. All right, these are gonna get harder, by the way. Okay, second one. She was a nun known for her humanitarian work, leaving behind a legacy of love, service, and kindness. And she once said, "Peace begins with a smile, and there are no great things, only small things with great love." Mother Teresa, very good, very good. Okay. Here's a tough one. An account manager on United Airlines Flight 93 realized terrorists had seized the plane, and he and his other passengers worked quickly and courageously to reclaim control. Flight 93 crashed into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, but the passengers' brave resistance galvanized America in one of its darkest moments. Do you know his name? Todd Beamer, very good. I thought I was going to get you guys on that one. Very good. Todd Beamer. A Pharisee who persecuted Christians. He had a dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. I'm sorry. What's going on with my mic? It's like, wah, wah. And he encountered the resurrected Jesus. After his conversion, he became a leading apostle, spreading the teaching of Jesus even to the Gentiles. Very good. Saul or Paul. Very good. There he is. That was the only picture I could really find. That like he's not alive anymore, you know. It's just. So we hear these stories, and we see how each one is this unlikely character in the story. An unlikely person who changed history in one way or another. Beethoven should not have been able to continue composing music after losing his hearing. Mother Teresa was a woman in the Catholic Church, just a nun. But her serving others, we remember forever, right? We all know who that is. Todd Beamer was just another accountant, probably in some cubicle. Many people probably didn't know him until after that day, besides his family and close friends. Saul was persecuting Christians. He was really the unlikely person. He was bringing them back in chains. Although they were unlikely, they were used in ways that changed the world for good. So God will use the most unlikely people to do his will, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Because we need to be ready to share the good news with all people so that God's desire for them and their life will be seen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So today we're going to be in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 20. Should I use a different mic? Okay. Is it not echoing to you? Okay, it's just me then. All right, let's stand as we learn God's word together. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias!" "Yes, Lord," he said. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Whoa, Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer in my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fall off Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Dear God, thank you so much for this scripture. Thank you so much for this reminder of unlikely people to open our eyes and have eyes like Christ to see what you might have for them. Because we were all once unlikely people. Dear God, transform us with your word of God today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, this is kind of a funny scripture, I think. I always chuckle with Ananias here. Because here is Ananias, minding his own business, believer of the way, Jesus Christ, doing his thing, and the Lord comes to him and says, "Hey, I want you to go to this guy named Saul, and I want you to lay hands on him." Oh, yeah, by the way, I gave him a vision so he knows exactly what you look like. But God, he's the guy that's been persecuting Christians, and you gave him my face? What are you doing? This is not a good thing. I do not want to be brought back to chains to Jerusalem. God, the high priest of Jerusalem, he's got a letter from him. And God says, "Ananias, go. Don't collect $200. Just go. Go to Paul and do what I need you to do. Because I got a plan for him. You might not see it right now." Now, I'm sure it helped Ananias a little bit to know that Paul was going to suffer a little bit for God, right? I feel like God kind of gave him that to be like, all right, you're going to suffer. Okay, I'll go. I'll go do this thing. I'll go and I'll put my hands on you and do what God wants me to do." So he goes to this unlikely person, Saul, who's persecuting Christians, taking him back in chains. I'm sure Ananias is like, "Let me lay my hands on you." Okay. The scales fall off. And Paul can see again. And then he just goes out. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He just goes out. So he wants to be baptized. And he starts telling people about Jesus, the Son of God, just like that. Unlikely. The unlikely person. And yet here he is, sharing the good news. It's a reminder that we need to trust God to see people as God sees them, allowing ourselves to see through the lens of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us even to those most unlikely people. Because I'll tell you what, God does see people through a different lens than we do. He sees their heart. He sees their past, their future. He sees the whole thing. He knows what they've been carrying, what they've gone through, but he's also his creation. He wants them to be his children. He has a compassion and grace that just says, "Oh, I want you a part of this. I want you on this journey with me. I want you to be a part of what we're doing." And he's just like sitting there waiting and excited, ready for the day when we ask him to be our Savior. He's so excited. I was just talking to Dave about that prevenient grace. Gosh, just ready and waiting. He just keeps putting himself out there. "I got you. I love you. I want you." God desired to use Saul to preach to the Gentiles, to kings, and to Jews. He might have been persecuting Christians and putting people in chains and bringing them back to Jerusalem. He even stood and watched Stephen be stoned to death. Oh, but God still wanted to use him to glorify him. That's huge. Saul was born in Rome, which made him a Roman citizen by birth. But he was also a part of the tribe of Benjamin, which means he was an Israelite. He understood the law so well, they say he understood it like a Pharisee, and he was educated by one of the most prominent teachers of the Jewish law. He could speak Greek and Aramaic. See, God saw Saul as something different, this powerhouse who could reach this huge, wide group of people all over the place in all sorts of cultures. Isn't that amazing? Amen. all those things that Saul was doing, God was like, yeah, I can use that. I can use that. I can use that too. He didn't even know it. Prevenient grace, just bringing him on in. But see, our human judgments sometimes get in the way. Right? It's easy for us to make judgments about the people in front of us. And that, I don't want to invite her to church. She's so negative. Negative Nancy. I don't want her to come. I don't want to invite that person. I don't even want to serve that person. He smells kind of funny. He's a little quirky. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to go over there and help that person. I just don't have time. And really, if he just got a job, he could figure things out on his own. Right? It's so easy as people to do that because that's who we are. We're humans. I don't have time. I don't want to. I've done that. And then God's like, hello, what are you doing? You're in my hands and feet. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Earlier this month, a couple weeks ago, I was driving to the bank. We were in Henderson Center, and this guy is sitting on the ground. With his blanket over him, and it is pouring down rain. I mean, just pouring. And as I'm driving by him, I could just, that verse in my head, and I'm totally going blank, so help me out here. I'll take care of the birds of the, thank you, somebody. Thank you. And I said, oh, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was like, you need to give him breakfast. That's your job today. That's how he's going to get his breakfast, is by you. So I told the kids, I said, I got to go in the bank, and I want you to go across the way to the bakery and get a big hot cup of coffee and some breakfast for this guy, because we need to feed him today. And so they went in there and did that, and we walked up to him, and I put my hands on him. And as I was walking up to him, he was holding rosary beads, and he was praying. And I'm like, yeah, okay. This is the Holy Spirit. God is leading us in the right place. And I put my hands around him, and I shook his hand. I said, hey, what's your name? And he said, my name's Charles. I said, man, Charles, so good to meet you. I said, my name's Nicole. This is Katie and Cameron. And the kids put their arms around him. He's just kind of just really cold. We were just kind of huddled around him. I said, is there anything I can pray for you? He said, I just want peace in this world. I'm like, all right, we can pray for that. So Katie and Cameron and I, we just wrapped our arms around him. He's holding this big cup of coffee, you know, and we just prayed for him, prayed for Charles. And I wonder, you know, after I left there, I wonder how often does someone actually ask him his name or shake his hand? How often does someone ask him his name, shake his hand? We often judge the person by what we see. And we get lost in the world, what the world sees, not what God sees. We forget that God equips those he sends. He uses the most unlikely people, even Charles, for his good. Because he knows how he needs to be glorified. Amen? Second Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Isn't that so good? The people, they feared Saul. That was his weakness. He was going around killing people in the name of God. What if Saul walked up into your Bible study? Whew, you just heard that he watched Stephen be stoned. But what if he walked in there and opened the door? What do you do? God had a plan for Saul. We don't know that. We can't see that. God had a plan. Kind of makes me nervous a little bit. What do we do? Gotta love them right where they are. He was persecuting. He was bringing them back in chains. And now God changed that. And he is freeing people from sin, the chains of sin, giving them authority to talk to all people about Jesus and this, the power of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that just get you right here? Yeah. Woo! We have to get uncomfortable. That feels uncomfortable to think that Saul would walk into our discipleship group. It's uncomfortable to go stand by Charles. It's uncomfortable. I don't know Charles. I don't know where he's been or what he's done or what's in his life. I don't know. I brought my kids. We got uncomfortable. But we were going to share Jesus that day. We have to do the unthinkable sometimes, especially in the eyes of the Jewish leader. Just like Jesus, he was doing things unthinkable. His actions made people uncomfortable. He made them a little confused. He flipped the narrative a little bit. He touched the untouchables. He walked up to lepers instead of saying, "Yeah, leper, leper." He walked up into and touched him and healed him. He wasn't yelling in their face. He flipped the narrative. He healed. Jesus sat down and ate with sinners, tax collectors, and oh boy, you ready for this? Women. Women. He journeyed in ministry with sinners, tax collectors, and women. He broke bread with them, with women. Oh my gosh. He showed himself to women first. Oh goodness. What was he thinking? Coming out of the grave in front of women. They can't go tell the disciples. And that day, they were the unlikely ones. How dare you? And Jesus said, "I don't care. I'm going to tell them anyway. In fact, I'm going to present myself to them first and be like, go tell my disciples." And they were like, yeah, running, banging on the door. The disciples didn't even open the door. What? Who's out there? It's us. Let us tell you the good news. Women, the unlikely ones. He washed the feet of his disciples and then told them to go out in the same. What? You want us to wash feet? Gross. Yeah, I want you to get uncomfortable and kneel down on the ground and wash feet. I want you to get the dirt off. I want you to wash everybody's feet. And then he called Saul, who hated the followers of the way, but Jesus called him to love the Gentiles, talk to the kings and the children of Israel. Jesus was the Messiah, and he shared that like crazy. Jesus calls you and me to go out and share the good news, even in all our imperfections. Because guess what? We were all the unlikely people at one time. Amen. Amen. And somebody said, "I know you're unlikely, but so was I. I love you. Come hear about my Jesus. He's got so many gifts for you. He's going to just give you all the things and prepare you and equip you and do all the things that you never thought you could do." You, church, are a vital piece and instrument of Jesus Christ. The people that you come in contact with, they will soon be a vital, important piece, an instrument of Jesus Christ. Amen. See, you never know when there's someone right in front of you that God desires to you to share Jesus with. Someone who will be a vital piece to his plan in moving the gospel around Fortuna and the world. And so, church, you have a choice. You have a choice today to choose where God is calling you. Step into the discomfortable, the uncomfortable situation. What does that mean? What does that mean for you right now? What is God calling you into that's not the comfy cozy? Now, you can choose that too. You can totally choose the comfy cozy Christian. You can come to church on Sunday. You can sit in the same pew, and you can be all warm and cozy. You can choose that. I will love you either way. But I'll tell you what, if you choose that, you will become stagnant in your faith. And you will miss out on so many things. You miss out on all the blessings. You miss out on all the things. We have to step into faith to get uncomfortable so we can grow like crazy and be transformed through the Holy Spirit. So I would like you to challenge us this week. I would like to challenge us to get uncomfortable. And I want you to ask something of the Holy Spirit this week that's really tough. I want you to ask him what that means for you. Holy Spirit, how do I get uncomfortable? What does that mean for me? I want you to be listening, and I want you to be watching, because this week you might be in a place where God is going to say, I want you to talk to that person. I want to reach out to that person. I know you feel like they're the unlikely person, but I have a plan for them. Because they might just be the ones who are going to move mountains for Christ. So we get uncomfortable and share Jesus. So we don't miss out on the amazing gifts God has equipped the unlikely. So I challenge us to have eyes like Christ, willing to share Jesus with all people, even the unlikely people. Amen?
Amen.
Can you do that with me this week?
Amen.
Say, Holy Spirit, dear God, we just come before you. We challenge you. Holy Spirit, let us know what that is for each one of us. What is our uncomfortable place? Take us to places that we have to step out of our comfort zone and trust the Holy Spirit to guide us. Guide our words, guide our action, give us wisdom. We want to be transformed like crazy. We want to grow like crazy. We don't want to be stagnant in our faith. Get us uncomfortable. Push us to new bounds. Individually, as a church body, within our families, God, you got this, and we are so ready, but we need to be challenged. We need to be in a different space, and so we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in that. Lord, push us. Push us out of the comfort zone. I don't want to be a cozy Christian. I don't want to be so cozy that I forget seeing people like Charles that just need someone to ask him his name and pray for him. I don't want to be too cozy that I don't see someone that needs prayer for at the grocery store. I don't want to be so cozy that I don't jump at the opportunity for a mom at the soccer field who needs prayer to say, hey, can I pray for you right now? Let's just stop and pray for you right now. I want to be so uncomfortable that I call everyone around me to come and wrap arms around her and pray for her. That's what I want to do. Push me out of my bounds every single day, God, throughout the day, all day long. May the Holy Spirit move me into that space. God, you are so good. And I'm so excited because I just feel like the Holy Spirit's doing something awesome and amazing and wonderful. And I can't wait to see what comes of it. We're all just a church full of unlikely people ready to be equipped by you, God. So here we are. Come and use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing and close our service today.
If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. If you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. If you strike me, I will embrace you. And if you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my home is heaven. For I choose the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. I choose surrender. I choose to love. Oh God, my Savior, you'll always be enough. I choose forgiveness. I choose grace. I choose to worship no matter what I face. I choose the Jesus way. 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 And I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. And I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
Choosing the Jesus way. Who is the unlikely person in your life? Who is it? Is it someone you see every day? Some you see weekly. Who is the unlikely person? God, bring us to a place where we see others through your eyes. I don't want to see people like the world sees. I want to see people like you see them. Just this beautiful creation. I have the opportunity to love right where they are and tell them how much Jesus loves them. And say, hey, your past doesn't matter anymore because Jesus says he'll forgive you. He just wants your future. God, give us that opportunity. Put us in those uncomfortable places. And equip us to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go out, share Jesus. Let's start at the zoo today.